A snowstorm grips the state of Maine, and churches around the state are forced to cancel their services. Oh no, we can't go to church. But wait, what does it mean to go to church? Why go at all? What's so important? Let's talk about it right here, right now. Join us on the corner of truth and life. Hello and welcome to the Corner of Truth and Life. This is Ira Hall, and we're recording this particular episode as we get ready to endure a massive snowstorm here coming up in the middle of January 2019. And it looks like Sunday is going to shut down everything if the storm comes as it looks like it's going to come. And we've got another, at the time of this recording, we got a couple another days. But as you're listening to this, if you're listening to this on the air on WKDJ, you know whether or not you're in the middle of a snowstorm. And if you're catching this later on the podcast, you know whether or not, whoa, it hit. But it's looking like we're going to get maybe up to 2 feet of snow, maybe. So be interesting to see. By the time you're listening to this, you'll probably know what happened. But it does mean that if everything is playing out, no church on Sunday. Oh no, well, what do we do? Well, at Beans Corner, what we're going to be doing, if there's no church this morning, if you're listening to this on KDJ, if there's no church this morning, at 8:30, we're still going to live stream the message because we can still live stream the message. And so there will still be a live streamed message even if there is no service at the church building. And then later on, the message will be available a little later in the morning on our YouTube page, as long as everything works well on the internet. So, does that count? Does live streaming a talk, a message, a sermon count as church? Well, what about the music? Well, what about the offering? What about being in the church building? Well, it comes back to how do we define church? And this is what we've been talking about in the last few episodes of understanding what does it mean to be church? What does it mean to go to church or be part of the church or even be a church member? And we have a lot of cultural ideas, and that's what we've been talking about, of ways the church has changed, ways the church message has maybe shifted. And so maybe what we should do today is kind of climb into our way back machine and go back to the beginning, because there hasn't always been a church. The church started after Jesus died and rose again and went into heaven. And so then, once the church started, well, what did it look like? So let's go back in time. So the church's formation really begins in the book of Acts. And so we're not going to read the whole book of Acts this morning, but it really can be traced to what's called the Day of Pentecost, which was a Jewish ritual, a Jewish day. But on the Day of Pentecost was the day that God, he had promised that he would send a helper, that he would send someone to replace him. And of course, it was the third person of the Godhead, the Holy Spirit, who is as much God as Jesus is, because they're all one God. And so the Holy Spirit came, and when he came, it made a big deal. It was an attention-getting moment, as the Holy Spirit came and descended upon the disciples, the apostles. And there was little flames of fire that appeared over them to mark this occasion. And they began to be able to speak in other languages so that everybody who was there, who had traveled to Jerusalem to celebrate Pentecost from around the empire, speaking many, many different languages, all heard the announcement of God, the announcement of Jesus, and the beginning of the church in their own language. And Peter, he preaches what I guess we'd call the first church sermon, but it's just there out in the public square. And he gives a speech and he talks about Jesus. And he talks about Jesus dying and being crucified and rising again and who he was and that he was Messiah. And as we're just going to, and as we come into the scene here, we're going to catch as he wraps up, as he closes his message. And we find this in Acts chapter 2, verse 36. Because this is the moment when the church comes into first being. This is the moment. Acts 2:36, we hear the last line of his message. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know for certain that God has made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you crucified. And that's the end of his message. And then Acts reports what happened to all those who had been listening to him recite Jesus' story and proclaim that he was their Messiah. Acts 2:37. Now when they heard this, they were pierced to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, Brethren, what shall we do? Peter said to them, Repent, and each of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you and your children, and for all who are far off, as many as the Lord our God will call to himself. And then what did they do? Verse 40. And with many other words, he solemnly testified and kept on exhorting them, saying, Be saved from this perverse generation. So then, those who had received his word, those who believed him, were baptized. And that day, there were added about 3,000 souls. So boom, first church, and already there are 3,000. This isn't a little country church of 40 people. 3,000. And so then what did they do then? Verse 42. They were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone kept feeling a sense of awe, and many wonders and signs were taking place through the apostles. And all those who had believed were together and had all things in common. And they began selling their property and possessions and were sharing them with all as anyone might have need. Day by day, continuing with one mind in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they were taking their meals together with gladness and sincerity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord was adding to their number day by day those who were being saved. Okay, there's a lot in there that we've got to take stock of here. So first we see that when it started, they started with 3,000, and then it says that every day there were more. And what were they doing? Well, they were studying. That said they were being taught by the apostles. They were having fellowship, which meant they were being together socially. They were breaking of bread, which that can mean just having meals together. It can also mean communion. And they were praying together. The apostles were doing signs and wonders. They were together. They were taking care of each other. It said that they were selling their property and possessions and sharing them with all. In other words, as people had more than they needed, they were getting rid of that to help fund those who needed more. And so they were just taking care of each other, meeting each other's needs. They were agreeing with one another. And it says they were breaking bread from house to house, because if you think about it, they didn't have a building. There wasn't a building on the corner of Jerusalem with a steeple on the front where they could sit for a couple hours with 3,000 people, plus. Instead, they were meeting in houses. Well, do you think anyone had a house that sat 3,000 people? Well, no, they were not meeting together. They were meeting in different houses. There were clusters of them, friendship clusters, probably sharing with their neighbors. And every day, more people would join this group that was not all in one place all the time. They did meet at the temple, but then they were spread out over houses, taking their meals together with gladness and sincerity of heart. In other words, they liked being together. They were sincere. They were praising God. And then the last thing is, and having favor with all the people, which meant as they spent all this time together, as they were creating these communities throughout Jerusalem, people were looking at that and saying, that's cool. Aren't those people nice? And they had a good reputation in public. Now, when we look at that and realize that that's the beginning of the church, man, we can realize that that in some ways looks so different than how we might view church today. Today, what do we say is, well, today I'm going to go to church. And what do we mean? Well, we mean we might get dressed up, depending on the church. Maybe put on our best, maybe get to wear a tie or a dress or a skirt or dress shirt, whatever. We got to dress up, comb the hair, maybe grab our Bible. Going to travel to a building, go in, sit down, be quiet, be reverent, listening to music, quiet music. Humble ourselves and solemnly sit there. Perhaps go through some various rituals depending on our church. Listen to someone tell us what we ought to be doing. And then we go home and we're done. Check the box. We went to church. Aren't we good people? We did our good deed. It was very inspiring. Maybe you come home and say, yeah, I just felt so good today. I just felt, oh, the music really spoke to me. Oh, the silence, the meditation just blessed my heart. It helped me feel centered. It helped me feel better. None of that is really described very much in what we just looked at. They weren't going to some central building and having a consumer experience. They were spending time together. They were learning together. They were sharing with each other. They were spending time in each other's lives. This was not an hour a week event and a one place. It was everywhere they went and everything they did. It was their lives. They did not go to church. They had become the church. And so often in these days, that's not what it looks like for us. We go to church and then we are just us. And maybe we, if we're really devout, well, I'm a member of that church. And so I do go more than one day a week. I'm more there more than an hour. I teach Sunday school. I go to Wednesday night or special service or whatever the extra stuff the church has. But it's still centered around that building and not about the community, or at least not as much. And I'm not saying that everything we do today is bad. I'm the pastor of a local church, so obviously I'm not against that, and I'm not, I hope you don't think that I am. But I do think that we need to understand that, like, when I go to Bean's Corner and preach a message on a Sunday morning, that is not me doing church. That is just one little part of being the church. And it's just one little part. There's so much more. Day to day, as I have friends, as I make friends and build relationships and share my life with others and hopefully have a good reputation among everybody. That's what they did. That's what it meant for them to be church. What does it mean for you to connect with church? Is it about a building and a place and a time? Or is it about a community that becomes part of who you are? And that you don't say, I go to church. You say, I am part of the church, not part of a church. But church is who I am. Thank you for listening to the Corner of Truth and Life. This has been a broadcast of the Bean's Corner Baptist Church, located at the corner of 133 and 156 in North Jay. We would welcome you to join us each Sunday morning at 8 a.m. and 10:30 a.m. for a service of music and challenge. If you would like to get more information on the church, listen to this show, past shows, or other messages, please visit us on the web at beanscorner.org or find us on Facebook. Thank you for listening, and we remind you to seek truth. This is Pastor Ira Hall. Have a great day.